Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. We're a church family in North Carolina with a vision for people to experience the grace of Jesus, be filled with the Father's love, and to release the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's this week's message from Wilmington. So we're in the middle of a vision series. If you missed last Sunday, Easter Sunday, you cannot listen to it online because we had a technical difficulty. But you can go back and listen to some of the messages that we've been doing as part of a vision series. So we have our vision. We're going to put it up here on the board. We've been talking most recently about the section in this vision that talks about being activated into our identity and our callings. So if you remember, I talked a little bit about being activated as sons and daughters, as our identity, being activated as the bride of Christ. And being activated into even this place where I talked about just most recently, a couple weeks ago, in this place in between where identity and calling meet, and it's Jesus. You know, really Him being our vision. Him being not only the core to who we are, our identity, but Him being the core to our calling, to what we do, right? So I talked a little bit about that. And so today, I'm going to take that next step into activating into our callings. Because we want to be a body. Listen, as pastors, we want to create this place where we can get refreshed like we were talking about this morning. We want to create a place here, facilitate a place here where you can do business with the Lord. You know, where you can hear from the Lord. And we want to be a place where people really are activated into their callings, like big callings, uppercase C calling. And also their micro callings. You know what I mean? Every day, every week, we want to get refreshed and like launch people into the week, into what the Lord has for them. And I think today, I want to talk about those micro callings. You know, I think there are big callings in our life. I feel like being a pastor is a calling in my life, you know? For example, being a mom or a dad might be a calling in your life. You know, some people, their vocation is a calling. Like they felt the Lord inviting them, opening the door into that. So I think there are definitely big uppercase C callings. Do you know, does that make sense what I'm trying to say? But today I'm talking, and if you don't know your calling yet, I want to pray for you later. I do want to pray for you later. Today I want to talk a little bit about the little case C callings, like micro callings. I made up that term. I don't even know if it exists, but that's what I'm going to refer to it today. And what I mean by that is like our everyday life, right? Because walking in our big calling is a big deal. It's important. God has it for us. But walking out every day of our life is probably what we're going to spend the majority of our time doing. Do you know what I'm saying? And so that's what I want to talk about today. I'm going to start in Ephesians. It's like one of our favorite verses right now in this season. Ephesians 2. And I'll give you a minute to turn there, or if you have a Bible app, you can go there. Verse 10. You might know it. I know it by heart now because we've said it so much lately. I'm in the New Living Translations, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. There's so much in that verse to me. First of all, it is a lot of our identity. We're a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. You are created in God's image, like uniquely created. Think about the best artist that you know. Think about the best songwriter that you know. Like God looked at you and He created you like special, like really, really good. And He created us to do things. And one of the things that jumps out of this verse to us, Mary and I have been talking about it a lot, actually, this last year or two, is that He created us to do the good things. How many things? All the things. The plural things. Not a good thing. Does that make sense? And I feel like this helps us to jump out of that idea of there might be a big calling only in our life, uppercase C. And actually, there's a lot of micro callings in our life. The good things that God created us to do long ago. And I'd propose that every day there's good things that God created for us to do. And He sets them out before us. And I'd propose that sometimes we don't do them. And I'd propose that that's okay. Because there's more things for us to do. It's like God gives us another chance. I'm just dumping my water. It's like God gives us he's not disappointed when we miss the small thing. Because he's got more things for us to do. Does that, you hear me? I'm excited about that. Because sometimes I don't have a great day. Sometimes my days are a little bit crabby. You guys probably don't get that way. And I don't feel like I'm really dialed into what the Lord's doing and saying. And other days, I feel like I'm dialed in. And then the next day, God's mercies are new. And here we go. Another day of good things, micro callings. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to go backwards a little bit into 1 Corinthians. And chapter 7, verse 17. So 1 Corinthians 7:17. And it says, each of you should continue to live whatever situation the Lord has placed you and remain as you were when God first called you. This is my rule for the churches. It's interesting in this passage, we're actually talking about instructions for marriage. Paul is talking about instructions for marriage. He goes on to talk about if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, stay where you are. Just be who you are. And then it goes on to talk about if you're a slave, just stay being a slave. If you get free, awesome. Take advantage of your freedom. But I think this verse jumps out to me because it talks about continuing to live in the situation in which we find ourselves. And I'm not saying that there's not a better thing to push onto, right? I think we would talk about slavery. Freedom is better than slavery, right? So I think there's things that we can encourage ourselves to move toward to. But in the middle of moving towards those things, what are we doing right now? Where do we find ourselves today? And I think there's actually a lot of freedom in that. We don't have to wait till someday. We don't have to wait till we graduate from college, right? We don't have to wait till we graduate from high school. We don't have to wait until our kids move out of the house, right? We don't have to wait till we get all the kids in school. We don't have to wait till we get to retire. We don't have to wait till we win $1 million and $2 million or whatever the new need is now, inflation. It's probably $3 million to retire comfortably. I don't know. We don't have to wait for that someday, right? We don't have to wait to go to Mexico. We can, and God's going to do great things when we go there, but we don't have to wait for that someday. Today, we find ourselves in the situation that we are today. And in that situation today, we get to walk out our calling. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. I think there's some times in my life where I've done this better than others, if I'm transparent. I talked a little bit a minute ago about some days I'm crabby, some days I'm not. There was a season in our life, we had moved to Texas, and it was actually a work promotion that took us to Texas. But in the middle of it being a work promotion, some of you remember that day, that era in our life, Mary and I felt like there was this invitation from the Lord for us to be, he was in it. It wasn't just about work. Have you ever been in that spot? You feel like you're doing something that's pretty normal, but you feel like the Lord's in it, pulling you, inviting you into something else. And we felt this invitation. And while we were in Texas, we felt like there was this wave, as I was thinking about experiences in my life, to maybe share in the everyday where I've seen God move, I was taken back to this time in Texas because I feel like there was just this abundance of things that were happening. I was working for a higher education company. They were publicly traded, so it was kind of big corporation feel. They had campuses across the country. They were doing technician training for folks that maybe didn't want to go to college, but they wanted to go get their mechanic degree, basically. And I was working for them in sales, in essence. It's called recruitment. Actually, you couldn't use the word sales so I was working for this company. And it was just, what I'm trying to tell you is a normal job. It was a normal job. I was in sales. I was leading a team. I was working on a campus. I was going to the office every day. I was putting on a nice shirt and pants every day. All the nice shoes, etc. Right? Normal life. And I felt like, again, there was this invitation of the Lord for me to just be really present and to look for opportunities and what he was doing. I remember this one time I was in church, and we were at church. It was just a regular, I think a Wednesday night meeting or a Thursday night meeting, and the pastor was talking about the story in the Bible when the centurion approaches Jesus, and he says, "Hey, I need you to heal my son." And Jesus, like, they have a ways to go. And Jesus, the centurion eventually talks to Jesus about how authority works. You guys remember this story? And he's like, "Listen, I know if I tell my people what to do, they do it because I have authority over them. All I have to do is say the word and they'll do it." So he's like, "Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. You just need to say the word and it will happen," because of the authority he realized that was on Jesus. And that's what happened. Jesus, in that, he said, "Let your son be healed." And the Bible says in that hour, or at that moment, his son was healed. When they got back to the house, they found out that it was at the moment that Jesus said, "Be healed," that he was healed. Just something about that. And so I got up out of my seat and I went to the hospital, because one of my boss at the time, his son was in the hospital with some crazy fever. Like, they didn't know what was going on. It was one of those really mysterious things. They were thinking it was of the worst type thing, and he was in the fever, and his fever wouldn't break. He was in the hospital, pretty big deal. And I went there to the hospital. I went and sat in the waiting room, and I just prayed. And like this thing that I had just heard stirred up faith. You know how you hear a testimony and it stirs you up? Like, "Lord, do it again," right? That's what testimony means, do it again. So I was there and I was praying, and then I left. And then I went to work the next day. And I walked into this man's office. I was like, "Hey, how's your son?" His name was Zach. "How's Zach?" He's like, "Yeah, his fever broke last night." I was like, "Yeah, I know his fever broke last night. Did it break at like 7:30 p.m.? Whatever time I was in the..." He's like, "It did. Yeah, it was about then that it broke." I was like, "I didn't actually know it broke." I was like, just stirred up still in faith, you know? And I was like, "That's amazing. Let me tell you what happened." I told him this Bible verse, and then I told him how I went. I told him how I prayed. And he was like, "Are you kidding?" And it's like stirred up in him this a faith, a new perspective that God heals people today. You know, it was really, really fascinating. Actually, it opened up a time in my life working with him where now I had a voice into his life. Like, he'd pull me in, even at work, he'd pull me in for things like my opinion on things that maybe he wouldn't pull me into before. And he'd share that story with other people. He'd be like, "Oh yeah, Ryan prayed and my son got healed." Isn't that cool? There's another story where I was working with this woman from South Africa, and she had the craziest accent. She kind of reminded me a little bit of Mrs. Doubtfire meets, I don't know, South Africa. And she was working for me. She was kind of an old school salesperson, and she was really, really eccentric and had her own way about doing things. And she was amazing on our team. She was one of our team leaders. She was really high numbers, really aggressive. She had been with the company much before I had gotten there. And we found out one day that she had throat cancer. And her profession at the time, her profession was dictated on her being on the phone all day long, calling people, all day long, talking to people, all day long. And she was in Houston, started going to the hospital down there. And as part of my job, I'd have a lot of one-on-one conversations with people. It was actually on my calendar. I'd have one-on-one meetings with people, check in on all the employees, right? How are you doing? What are your numbers? What are your goals? Are you tracking towards your goals? Obviously, try to make it some personal, but, you know, typically you kind of keep life professional a little bit, right? And I just felt this invitation to pray for her, like, in that setting. So we got done with like our numbers meeting, right? Which went something like, "You're tracking towards your goals, or you're not tracking towards your goals. What are you going to do to get your numbers up by the end of this month?" "Okay, great." "And then when you get to the end of this month, you go back to zero. What are you going to do next month?" Right? And I was like, "Okay, great. Any questions? No, you feel good? Great. Hey, can I break from that? And just like on a personal note," like shifted gears, "on a personal note, can I pray for you?" And just found myself praying for her. She had shared a little bit about God, but not a lot. And found myself praying for her. and letting her know that I was going to be praying for her, and then just checking in on her treatment and making space for her a little bit too in the middle of that treatment, like work perspective. I think we were able to help give her some flexibility in her schedule to go get treatments, and took her to the hospital a few times. Like, I actually drove her because she didn't have a ride to go get treatment. And in that space, like, we bonded a lot. And again, this opportunity for me to just speak, and I wasn't preaching. Like, I wasn't teaching her. I wasn't like going through a Bible study with her. I was just being, you know, really being with her. And some years later, she sent me, she had a long, long fight with throat cancer, and she changed jobs to make it, you know, more, the Lord didn't heal her cancer in that moment, like, even though we were praying for it. But the Lord did something where she started reaching out on an annual basis to give me an update on her life and to ask me for prayer, you know, for what was going on in her life, and sent me this really crazy article about this guy who was in the military, and somebody packed his parachute, and that parachute ended up saving his life, you know. And she sent that to me and said, thank you for packing my parachute, you know. And again, I don't feel like it was anything, like I went out of the way crazy. I just took some time to really speak into this woman's life and to let her know that she was loved and to let her know who the Lord is. You know, it's the micro callings. You know, we worked with a guy there who was really crazy, like really, really wound up all the time. High performer. He and his wife were young, just got married. They were like babies. And somehow Mary and I kind of started building relationship with them. We had went on a work trip with them, started building relationship with them. And like, long story short, their marriage started getting really rocky. They had some issues that they were trying to work through. Again, young marriage. And an opportunity for Mary and I to just be their friends and to call out in them, listen, y'all, it's okay that you're having problems, but God wants to help you get through those problems. God's heart is to restore your marriage. God's heart is to make it better, right? And having this opportunity to speak into their lives, they ended up confiding in us and kind of reaching out to us for help and support, ended up encouraging them to go to a counselor or to somebody to get counseling, and then ended up, they're married, you know, today, and doing really well. And again, some years later, they told us, you guys really saved our marriage, you know. And we found ourselves in this moment where they were just being tender, they were just being transparent because of a relationship that we had built with them, and found ourselves in an opportunity to speak life into their marriage. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? I'm sharing these stories not to like inflate myself or put myself on a pedestal. I'm just sharing these stories because these aren't like some great miracle crusades where this stuff was happening, but they were real life transforming people's lives in just the everyday stuff. Does that make sense? I find that, as I look back, rather, and you know, obviously, like, more stories. I can think about other stories at work. I won't share a lot of stories. But I think about other times that God has used me in moments at work, and I'm like, what was unique about that, you know? I think about the Houston time, and in Houston in particular, I think we were in a season of our life where we were expecting the Lord to do something. You know, we were in a season of our life where we were saying yes to the Lord every day. And then, wouldn't you know it, we found ourselves in these positions where God was really using us, right? Now, not every day is like that for me. I said that a little bit before. I find that sometimes I go through these seasons of life, or days even, or even hours, where things aren't as easy, you know, where frustrations well up, where work is hard. I'm like learning how to deal with stress, like working with a health professional to learn to deal with stress, because work is not always easy, you know. Or maybe you have that experience in your home life, you know, where things are crazy and busy, and or school, right? Like waves of school where stuff gets really hard. Tests come up and you got waves of assignments that are due, and you're probably staying up too late and putting them off too long, and then they all pile up, and then you got a bunch to do all of a sudden. You know what I mean? So I get, like, life has those moments that come at us. I think about bad, like, not great times in my life where I overreacted to my kids, you know, where I like took something and blew it out of proportion. And then I look back and I'm like, well, that wasn't a great, awesome moment in my life. That wasn't a really good moment for me to live out God's calling and the micro callings of my life. But then I look at, you know, other moments, like I said, where really those pockets where you're able to say yes, those pockets where you're able to say, to look to see what the Lord's doing. I think for me, the reason why I shared some of those like counterpoints is to get us thinking about, what are you seeing your life through? What lens are you seeing your life through? Because I think there's counter lenses. One lens says, God's doing something. Let's be expectant even in the tough times. Let's be expectant and say yes to what God's doing. That's a lens to see our life through. The other lens is to see our life through the circumstances and the difficulty, right? The other lens is to choose to see our life through the hard things that are going on right now, the assignments that are stacked up, the kids' stuff that's going on, right? The financial issues that we have. That's another lens to see. And I think if you can put the expectancy lens on top of that one, it looks a little different every day. You know what I mean? All right. So I'm going to jump into keys first. So let me sum up what I just said, and then we'll jump into another Bible verse. But some keys that I see as I break that down is to be expectant, to see the Lord, giving him our yes every day in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And I think the third key is grace. And we're going to look at that now in 2 Timothy. So let's go there together. 2 Timothy chapter 1. All right. Verses 9 and 10. And I'm in the New Living Translation right now. I'll read it from there. So, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning, before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. I find that in the Passion Translation, I'm just going to switch over there. If you have a Bible app, you can switch over too. But I find that there's some interesting emphasis that the Passion Translation puts on those verses. The Passion Translation says, he gave us resurrection life and drew us to himself by his holy calling in our lives. And it wasn't because of any good we have done, but by his divine pleasure and marvelous grace that confirmed our union with the anointed Jesus even before time began. The truth is now being unveiled by the revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has dismantled death, obliterating all of its effects on our lives, and has manifested his immortal life in us by the gospel. That's an interesting correlation maybe to living out our micro callings. And it's not explicit in there. So let me unpack, like, why did I choose those verses? If you go back into verse 9, it talks about two things. It says that, one, obviously there's resurrection life, right? That God saved us and then he called us to live a holy life. So there's two elements to that first part of the verse. We all know God saved us by grace, right? So we were saved by grace, but he also called us into a holy life. And the by grace part comes after that sentence. Does that make sense? The reason why I'm picking this verse is because I wanted to remind us, as I've said, I say it a lot, the same thing that got us in keeps us in. So the grace that saved us is the grace that empowers us to live a holy life. Does that make sense? And that holy life, I'm tying today to the micro callings in our life, to our everyday life, to our ability to walk out the things that God has for us. We do that by being expected in him. We do that by saying yes to him. And we do that by staying in grace, not striving out of our own ambition. When we miss it, it's okay. We lean into grace and we get back and we go after it again. You know what I mean? We don't beat ourselves up. We don't have to flog ourselves like they used to do, right? There's grace. I love the Passion Translation as it moves into 10, verse 10. And it says that by the revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has dismantled death, that's saved us, right? He saved us, dismantling death. And he obliterated all of its effects on our lives. Not its past effect, but its present effects. Jesus has obliterated death on our lives, the effect of death on our lives. Again, setting us free through his grace to live out and to walk out this holy life that we're called to. And the holy life that we're called to being empowered by grace, not some striving have to do. Does that make sense? As pastors, I mentioned our heart is to really, really create space where people can get filled up, to where people can be activated into their callings. So as I was thinking about this message today, I think it's kind of a rice and beans message a little bit. I keep you guys hear me. Some of you have heard me keep going back to food analogies with my messages, right? Sometimes family dinner, we don't always put the best food on the table. Not because we don't want to, but just sometimes life is busy and we just like put the food on the table that we have available that day, right? I feel like sermons sometimes can be like that. Sometimes like we're not always putting the best food on the table, but there's grace. We don't have to be a Michelin star restaurant every time we have service. Does that make sense? It takes a lot of pressure off me. I feel like this is a rice and beans message. And by that, I mean, I feel like this is like, come back and just get fed and remind ourselves, like remind ourselves of the things that God's doing. Remind ourselves of the things that he wants to do. This is, in my opinion, a really practical message. It's not like, maybe it's revelatory. I don't know. But here's the reality about vision in our lives. As we're looking about the way that we should live, vision leaks, right? So part of my job as a pastor is to help remind us, including myself, of the things that we're called to, because sometimes it just, like life bogs it down. It's like weeding the garden, right? We're just making clear space. We're filling ourselves back up again as we go out into the day and into the week. So in this rice and beans message, take from that this encouragement, right? I want to make this hyper practical today. So I actually want you to think about, we're going to get up in pairs of two. We're going to get from flip charts. I'm just kidding. Some of you looked at me like, I know. No, we're not going to do that. But what we are going to do is I do want you to take a minute and practically think about your life and practically think about the micro calling that you have. What is your micro calling? Like, what are your gifts? What are the situations that God's put you in? Think through that, really. What are the situations that God has you in right now? The good ones and the bad ones. Where do you find yourself, like Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians? Okay, what is that spot? And then what do you feel like you have to give in that spot? Because I think it looks a little bit different for all of us. What's your gift? If you don't know what your gift is, what do you like to do? How do you like to take care of people? What are you good at? How does that apply to your circumstances that you find yourself in you know, in life? You know, are you a leader? Are you a student? Are you a child? Are you a parent? All of those comes with a little bit of different roles and responsibilities. So what are the roles and responsibilities that you have in your life today? I'm kind of overemphasizing this on purpose because I want you to really sit in this. And then what can you do in that spot? What can God do in that spot? How can God help you in that spot? Where do you need God's help in that spot? Who is in that spot? Like, who is in your life right now that doesn't know the Lord or needs encouragement? And like, what can you do for them? You know, not in a have to way, but in a get to way. Like, what can you do because of who you are? I think it's an invitation for us to walk out our micro callings in those spaces, like super hyper practical way. To walk out our micro callings into those spaces, to think about as we go about our day, Lord, who do you have me around and what can I do? What can I do today, Lord, to serve you in the environment that I find myself in? Because again, you don't have to wait until someday. You don't have to wait until you get yourself right. I'm not right. This is like, I feel like I'm up here every week talking about like another episode. I don't have it all together. You know, I don't have it all together. Mary's close. I'm further away. But like, we don't have to wait till we have it all together. What's the stuff that we can do, you know, right now to really bless people in our lives, to be that person that maybe changes their life, to be that encouragement they need, to be that hug they need, you know, to be that smile they need. It can come in small and big packages. Does that make sense? All right, I'm going to wrap up. I feel like it's, to me, those three things just jumped out to me today. Being expectant in our everyday as we walk out our micro callings, saying yes to the Lord every day as we walk out our micro callings, and staying in grace, remembering that he did the work. So he's the one that can help us as we do our work that he's called us to do, right? We don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to strive. We don't have to conjure it up. We can do it like through his grace.
Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. To get more information, check out riverlifefellowship.com.